Former Trump attorney John Eastman, the father of the illegitimate theory that Vice President Pence could single-handedly overturn the 2020 presidential election, is now fighting to get back his law license as he faces some of the consequences of his actions around January 6, 2021. A disciplinary hearing last month stripped Eastman of his ability to practice law in the state of California. Eastman is arguing in a new court filing that he needs to be able to work as a lawyer so he can pay his own legal bills. CNN's Caitlin Polance is following the story for us. Caitlin, what is his basic argument besides he needs the money, and what comes next for him?
Well, right now for John Eastman, he can't practice law, and he's on the path to disbarment. But he is telling a judge in California who has made his law license inactive and said he has no remorse what he was doing for Donald Trump after the election. This is something that is in violation of his ethics codes as a lawyer. He's telling that judge he has bills to pay. Those bills are because it's quite expensive to be a criminal defendant. He is one. Alongside Donald Trump in Fulton County, Georgia, for his 2020 election actions. He says his bills there are $1 million already. And if he goes to trial, which he says he wants to do to try and clear his name, his bills could be up to $3.5 million. So he wants to keep practicing law to be able to pay those bills. And what he's also revealed to this California attorney discipline judge as he's trying to ask her to let him continue practicing law.
Well, that was CNN, and that was Jake Tapper and his reporter. And of course, they dismiss the seriousness of John Eastman's concerns. But the thing they can't dismiss is the fact that he will not recant. For whatever reason, this man just will not admit that the 2020 election was not stolen. Well, this is a guy who has nerves of steel, and he knows what he's talking about. He has an encyclopedic memory. I can't think of anyone who could recite to you the problems in every single state in great detail in a way that you could understand it. But that's John Eastman. And so John went, he appealed the loss of his, or the attempted loss of his law license in California. He appealed that just recently. He went before the court, and he's going to tell us what happened in that exchange. I think you're going to find it very, well, entertaining, concerning, depending on how you receive it. It's certainly concerning for all of us on behalf of John. But before we do that, according to a recent study, as many as 20% of women who undergo chemical abortions suffer complications, including a shocking number of deaths. Did you know that the Biden administration loosened restrictions by not requiring the NIH to report injuries caused by this toxic pill? This abortion pill continues to bring harm to moms and babies and yet accounts for over 60% of abortions. Preborn's network of clinics are flooded daily with women seeking help after taking this pill, regretting their decision, and some even come in with their aborted baby's remains, not knowing what to do with them. Preborn welcomes these women with open arms and offers them life-saving help, including the abortion pill reversal treatment if it's not too late. When you sponsor an ultrasound for women in crisis, you are giving them a new chance to make a better choice, to save their baby's life, and save their own hearts and souls and spirits, because Preborn is in the business of telling them about the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. And they do that, and they do it very effectively. So one ultrasound is only $28, and $140 helps rescue five babies. It's affordable, I think. If you can't afford $28, then just give what you can. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation. Well, you're listening to Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at 662-821-2040. We can't do live phone calls like you can on a radio show, which I really miss, to tell you the truth. But we can have you leave messages, which I can respond to on the air. So there's a prompt. It's actually pretty simple. Just go to 662-821-2040. And if you get embarrassed, you can erase what you've said. So don't worry about that. But we'd love to hear from you. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. We're available on all the social media platforms. So whichever is your preference, Sandy Rios 24/7 is there. You can listen to the show on any podcast platform. AFR.net is our home base, but you can listen on Spotify and Amazon and you know, just whatever, fill in the blanks, Apple, we are there, Sandy Rios 24/7. You can also go to my website, sandyrios.com, and listen pretty easily there as well. So I hope that helps. Well, today we have our part one discussion with John Eastman. John was the attorney for President Trump, famously on the stage with him when he made his speech on January the 6th, that has paid an incredible price for taking that stand. So let's listen to what he has to say today on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
The California State Bar recommending John Eastman be disbarred. Eastman was an attorney for then-President Donald Trump, who allegedly worked to help Trump overturn the 2020 election. The former Chapman University law professor was charged with multiple disciplinary counts by the California State Bar, and disbarment proceedings began in June. Eastman is also one of 19 people charged in connection with the Georgia election interference case.
Lawyers who were deeply involved in the 2020 election, and specifically in trying to overturn the valid results of the 2020 election, are now facing consequences. Potentially, John Eastman is facing losing his law license. That's about as serious as it gets for a lawyer, short of facing criminal charges.
Eastman's lawyer says it's unfair that Eastman will have to fight criminal charges in Georgia without being able to earn money as a lawyer to pay his hefty legal bills. Eastman plans to appeal that disbarment ruling.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That's a report from ABC Chicago, my hometown. But we've seen so much justice, really good justice, in the last few months. I think we'd all agree. But some things are not cleaned up yet. And the situation with John Eastman, who was President Trump's attorney on January 6th, the one that stood on the platform, the one that advised Vice President Pence that indeed, constitutionally, he was not prohibited from letting states work out the confusion and the disruption and the disagreement about what had happened in their state's elections. It was okay constitutionally to do that, but Vice President Pence chose not to do that. It's a mess, of course. And because of that, John has been criminalized. He's had to move from his own home. He's had death threats. He's been disbarred, at least in California. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning, and other things, too. Just his name drawn through the mud. But the thing about John that's so remarkable is that he never bends on what's true. And when he's put in a position to ask, do you still think the election of 2020 was stolen? He says robustly, yes, I do. He's a man of courage, and we're going to talk to him this morning again. John, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Sandy, for having me on. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
All right, so you had a horrible experience with the California bar in June, I think last June, and you were so poorly treated they removed, well, you should say, they did not allow you to present full evidence. Isn't that correct?
Well, yeah, and let me make one slight correction. ABC News got it wrong. I've not been disbarred. The bar court judge that oversaw the longest and most expensive bar disciplinary proceeding in history, she had no authority to disbar me. All she could do was recommend disbarment. And so that's where things stand right now. We appealed that decision. By the way, that decision came down on Wednesday of Holy Week last year, and it took effect 3 days later. For those of us who are Catholic or Christian, understand the significance of the three-day tritium during Holy Week, this was pretty significant. A year later, we finally got a hearing before the appeal court in the California Bar Court system, and that occurred a couple weeks ago. But yeah, the judge refused to let me put in a lot of witnesses, a lot of evidence. But even the witnesses we were allowed to call so clearly demonstrated that there was illegality in the election. it may well have affected the outcome of the election. And I mean, everything I said was true. And their claims that I was making false statements were just flatly themselves false. The bar lawyers even doctored a court decision to make it appear as if it said something that it didn't say that wasn't even an issue in the case. We called the bar court's attention to that matter, and instead of chastising them, that's a disbarrable offense. Instead of chastising them, she repeated the doctored quotation in her opinion against me.
But this is before 2 weeks ago, correct? That's where it stood before you.
Before two weeks ago. What we had 2 weeks ago was the oral argument before the three-judge appellate division of the California Bar Court. And even there, I mean, the bar lawyers came out of the blocks just repeating lie after lie after lie. The most egregious one, they said, Eastman said on the mall on January 6th, right before President Trump spoke, that dead people voted. That's a lie. And I pointed out in my, I sent a note to my lawyer. I said, I'm going to handle the rebuttal to this. I got up and I said, that's just a lie. Because in the same paragraph where they make that charge against me in the notice of disciplinary charges, they acknowledge that the Michigan Inspector General had already determined 1,500 dead people had voted. In other words, in the very claim that they're making that I lied about that, they're admitting that it was true. You know, this went on and on. She even said, I held the country hostage for over a year. She said that there was not a single evidence of a single fraudulent ballot that was cast, was just blatantly false. And it's just lie after lie after lie before this review panel. And it was really extraordinary sitting there. That's why I sent a note to my lawyer. I said, I need to get up and respond to this because I think it'll be more forceful with me doing it than anybody else. And I got up and I felt a little bit like the USS Missouri turning the big 55-inch guns on them. I just cited the record over and over and over again to demonstrate what they were saying were lies. I don't know whether it'll have any impact or effect on that bar panel. I hope it does. But then we have one more round, win or lose, at this appeal panel up to the California Supreme Court, which is the only entity in the state that can actually impose the sanction of disbarment on me.
So what about them? I mean, are they as bad as we think they are? I don't really know right now. I mean, are they a product of California?
I will say this. Two of the three judges have continued to make donations to Democrat candidates and causes after they've been on the bench. So that lends one to raise concerns about their objectivity. But I don't have any basis beyond that. I will say this. One of the judges at one point said, well, the signature verification settlement that weakened signature verification in Georgia, that was already upheld by a court of appeals. And I said, Your Honor, I'm not aware of any such case. I think you may be mistaken. And then he also said, because I claimed there were hundreds of state legislators that were urging Pence to slow things down so that they could assess the impact of the illegality. And this judge said, all you have is a hearsay email to that. And I got up on my response. I said, no, Your Honor, in the record are dozens of letters from state legislators to the vice president, including one by the president pro tem of the Pennsylvania Senate, purporting to speak on behalf of a majority of the state Senate that quite explicitly said our election was conducted illegally and should not have been certified by the Secretary of State. It couldn't get any more clear than that.
Now, what was their response? Look, I know how you are, John. I know how forceful you can be. And what a photographic memory you have, too. And it's not just you don't speak like some sort of an electronic or genius computer. You speak with passion. And you just never are off your game. I've never seen you off your game. But, of course, I haven't been in these hearings. I did hear a report that you really crushed it. That's what someone wrote about what you did. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter, does it, if they're unjust. Are these guys judges or are they other attorneys, just bar attorneys?
No, they're judges. California's got a unique bar disciplinary system. They have their own bar court, and these are judges. But the bar hearing judges are all appointed by Democrats. The bar appellate judges were all appointed by the Democrat majority California Supreme Court. And so the system you know, that probably doesn't matter much if the Barr disciplinary issue is did somebody take funds from the client trust account or those kind of things. But when they're venturing into such an overtly political case as this is, and their partisan bona fides are pretty clear for everyone to see, at least the appearance of bias raises a due process concern. And we briefed that issue extensively. We'll see what happens. But there are also First Amendment rights. I mean, the First Amendment protects the right of free speech, of free association, and most relevant to this case, the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. All of the things that we did fell under that category, petitioning the government to do something about the illegality that we all observed with our own eyes. That's First Amendment protected speech, and it cannot be the basis for bar discipline if you're exercising your constitutional rights. So we briefed that extensively as well. And hopefully, these judges will get beyond their kind of Democrat partisan bona fides and faithfully apply the law and dismiss this case. It's gone on way too long. It never should have been brought in the first place.
You know, I know this makes absolutely zero difference, but as an attorney stating your case, looking at their faces, did you sense that anyone was really actually listening to you, even if they rule against you? Did you think that what you were saying was resonating with them?
I wish I could say that it was, but they didn't ask a question. They just kind of stared at me the whole 8 minutes I had in rebuttal. That's quite unfortunate, because I think these are serious issues, and any serious assessment of them according to the rule of law should yield a dismissal of this action. I hope that's what happens. But those people that were watching the case, the oral argument, it was live streamed publicly, came away with a different view. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, all right. So, John, I'm sure you made your case powerfully. But you're in a court and in a state not known for justice, one of the worst states in our union really right now. So what's your recourse? You cannot practice law in California. Now, this is California specifically, correct?
California specifically. And so the recommendation of disbarment puts me automatically on the inactive lawyer's role. So I'm not allowed to practice in California, but we notified the U.S. Supreme Court, where most of my practice is, of that decision, and the court wrote back to me, or the court clerk, thanks very much, let us know if there's any final disposition. What that means is that they decided not to take any action as a result, and I'm still practicing before the Supreme Court of the United States.
Oh, thank God for that. All right, so if you get a bad decision, and they will this be final, or can you appeal this somewhere else?
So the review department can either affirm the recommendation of disbarment, and then it goes up to the California Supreme Court to decide whether to accept that recommendation or not. They can do it just as, you know, by rubber stamp, or they can do it by holding additional briefing and oral argument. The appellate division can reject the recommendation and recommend no discipline, or recommend a lesser discipline than disbarment. I suspect that whatever happens, either me or the bar lawyers will take the case up to the California Supreme Court, which is the only entity that I actually can impose discipline. But because there are federal First Amendment and due process rights at issue here as well, those federal constitutional rights give us ground to ask the U.S. Supreme Court to review whatever decision comes out of the California Supreme Court. So we're prepared to do that if it becomes necessary. We hope it doesn't, but if it becomes necessary, we're prepared to do that as well.
And John, you remind me of my good friend Joe Scheidler, who you probably don't know who that is, but he was the founder of the
Scheidler versus Now. I know him well.
yeah, okay. Well, he was a dear friend of mine in Chicago, and he fought his case in the Supreme Court for 20 years. 20 years before I hope this doesn't happen to you, before he finally was prevailed over the National Organization for Women, who sued him for everything. But he just was steadfast, and reminds me of you a bit. He would not bend or move, you know. He was just a truth speaker, powerful truth speaker. But, all right, so, John, that's the California bar. I don't recall, but I remember that you were in the crosshairs of the D.C. Circuit also, or the D.C. Bar. Is that still an issue?
Well, the D.C. Bar has put me on temporary suspension pending the results of California. So that's where that stands. More significantly was the fact that I was listed by Jack Smith as an unindicted co-conspirator in the criminal prosecution he brought against President Trump. That thankfully went away when President Trump was reelected and that case got dismissed. But this lawfare, this is a travesty of what's going on in this country. And I think the American people overwhelmingly reacted and rejected it at the election in November. But the state prosecutors, I'm indicted in both Georgia and Arizona, the state prosecutors not only don't seem to have gotten the memo from the American people last November, but they're doubling down. In Georgia, really? Fannie Willis has been disqualified, and yet she continues to prosecute the case. It's really stunning. In Arizona, Attorney General Chris Mays hired a violently anti-Trump group called States United Democracy Center, run by Norm Eisen and other activist Democrats, to prepare the prosecution strategy for her. That's a little like hiring a fox to prepare the safety memo for your chicken coop. It's insane. But it demonstrates to me that there is a nationwide conspiracy going on to conduct this lawfare against the radical Democrats' political opponents. Nationwide conspiracy to deprive people of constitutional rights is a federal felony. And I believe that Cash Patel at the FBI and Pam Bondi at the Department of Justice are actually investigating this nationwide conspiracy. And I think they're prepared, if the investigations lead to it, to hold people accountable with criminal prosecutions for this egregious abuse of our criminal justice system that's been going on the last 4 years.
Yeah, it's despicable. And of course, we're seeing it in the headlines, and we're going to get to that in just a second. But, you know, John, it's not just, though, if only it were just the left using lawfare. But what I pick up, because I'm part of conversations by attorneys, especially in the D.C. area, is this twisted. I've watched it for so many years now. I'm trying to figure out how to label it. Twisted arrogance about the legal community, where the law and the legal community has almost become a religion and a cult. Like, it rises above national interests. It rises above the Constitution. It has taken on a life of its own. And the loyalties, at least, I know I'm not probably saying this well enough, but the loyalties of attorneys are to the judicial system. It's they play to each other. And they become rogue. Even conservatives, I'd say, excuse me, that's the most disappointing thing.
Well, look, I think from the left, they've started to believe their own propaganda that Trump is the reincarnation of Hitler. And because they believe that, then anything, any means justifies the ends of stopping Trump. Because wouldn't you have broken a few laws and cracked a few eggs in 1932 to stop Hitler from coming to power in 1933? This is their mentality. And it's a means justifies the ends mentality. And the means are completely throw out our criminal justice neutrality, completely throw out equal justice before the law, completely throw out due process protections of the Fourth Amendment and Fifth Amendment and right to jury and attorney-client privilege of the Sixth and Seventh Amendments, throw out the protections of the First Amendment, speech and right to petition the government for redress of grievances, because by God, we got to stop this guy Trump or he'll destroy democracy. We've got to stop him even to the point of destroying democracy to prevent him from destroying democracy. Let's keep him off the ballot. Let's prevent his supporters from lending their support. Let's do anything we can to stop him. It didn't work. The American people rose up in resounding rejection of these tactics. But they continue apace. They continue to do it. And we're seeing it now with every move that Trump makes, being sued in hand-selected jurisdictions with Obama or Biden-appointed judges issuing nationwide injunctions as if they are the elected president of the United States.
But, John, the point I'm trying to make, thank you for that. Totally. But the point I'm trying to make, excuse me, where is the conservative legal community, the so-called conservative? They're not defending. They're not stepping up. They're scared to death of their shadow. The ABA has become a leftist organization that controls them. That's my opinion. by assessing and grading them and giving approval or not approval, but it's not. It does not represent America's interests, and I don't think the conservative legal community is representing America's interests. I don't know if you want to address that now, because that's you got enough problems, but that's my perspective.
In the documentary that's done about me called Eastman Dilemma, Lawfare or Justice, Alan Dershowitz takes this issue up. And he says that the lawyers at the big law firms have been cowered away from doing anything that would represent President Trump or help advance President Trump's agenda, because their clients, they get attacked from the left, their clients. And you're right. A lot of the lawyers on the right side of things that would normally be standing into the breaches here to help are standing on the sidelines, or worse, they've become somewhat anti-Trump as well and are joining in the criminalization thing. And again, ends justify the means mentality. It really is a huge problem. Dershowitz says he knows for a fact that there are major law firms that won't take on any of these cases. I experienced that. I had named partners at firms that wanted to represent me, and their partnership said, we walk if you take on that case, or our clients walk if you take on that case. You cannot have an adversarial system of justice like we have in this country if one side can't get competent representation. And that's what they're trying to do. The 65 Project, one of the most notorious groups engaged in this lawfare, makes very clear their goal is not just to get all the lawyers disbarred, but to make them so toxic in their firms and their communities that lawyers won't ever take on these kind of cases again. That will destroy the rule of law in this country if that succeeds. And it's one of the reasons why I'm standing up and fighting as hard as I am.
Yeah, I know you are. And, you know, one man can make a huge difference, John. So I think there's hope. There's a hope because of your character. And there are others. You know, Jeff Clark has fought hard, too. I think Jeff has been reinstated in the Trump administration, which I was glad to hear. But without your bar license, it's hard to do the work that you need to do. All right. So this conflict now is, of course, manifesting itself in nationwide injunctions against President Trump's executive orders. I think there have been 15 so far. Well, that was part one with John Eastman. He's just fascinating, isn't he? John just has so much knowledge that it's never dull when we talk to him. He brings in so many more things I never thought of, but you heard us pivot to the nationwide injunctions, and we're all concerned about that. I'm sure you are. I'm concerned. And so we will discuss that with him in our upcoming part two. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As abortion continues to rise, preborn is expanding their life-affirming care in the darkest corners of our nation to help more hurting women and save more babies. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 will place a machine in a needy women's center, saving countless lives for years to come. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
California State Bar recommending John Eastman be disbarred. Eastman was an attorney for then-President Donald Trump, who allegedly worked to help Trump overturn the 2020 election. The former Chapman University law professor was charged with multiple disciplinary counts by the California State Bar, and disbarment proceedings began in June. Eastman is also one of 19 people charged in connection with the Georgia election interference case.
Lawyers who were deeply involved in the 2020 election, and specifically in trying to overturn the valid results of the 2020 election, are now facing consequences. Potentially, John Eastman is facing losing his law license. That's about as serious as it gets for a lawyer, short of facing criminal charges.
Eastman's lawyer says it's unfair that Eastman will have to fight criminal charges in Georgia without being able to earn money as a lawyer to pay his hefty legal bills. Eastman plans to appeal that disbarment ruling.
All right, that was ABC Chicago, our hometown. Ive Esperus, my former prosecutor husband, who also was with the FBI for, his most work life. He devoted 24 years of his life to that. But Bruce, when you were prosecuting cases, I asked John, you know, if he could had a read on how the judges or the guys he was talking to were receiving what he said. Did you do that? Were you cued into how the judge was responding? And did you ever have a real feel that turned out to be accurate on how they were receiving what you're saying?
Most definitely. I mean, you'd be foolish not to try to take the temperature of the judge to see what is working and what is not working. Because you can have as good an argument as it gets, but if the judge isn't receiving it or buying it, you're wasting your time and you need to go to another tactic. What I find amazing is that, really, if you look at this whole case against John Eastman out in California in taking his license away, it is built upon the foundation that John tried to interfere with an election. And all he did, as far as I can tell, is give advice to Donald Trump, who was his client. And an attorney is required by ethics to give his very best opinion as to how a matter should be handled. And if you might be right, you might be wrong. Obviously, someone wins and someone loses in every case. So there's always going to be advice given that may not work out. And as far as I can tell, that's what happened on January 6th.
It's not criminal for you to give advice to your attorney or to your client.
What I also find amazing is that these bar people out there in California continue to say that there is no proof that there was any fraud in the 2020 election. And as John stated, there are affidavits, there are statements by election officials, by secretaries of state in some states, that there was election fraud, that the elections were not conducted properly. I mean, really, this whole matter against John should be dismissed.
And the whole thing in that hearing, as I recall, the first hearing that he had was all about the election. The election was stolen, and John is a fraud, and he will not admit it. He won't recant. He won't admit that Joe Biden is the duly elected president, and there was not fraud in the election. It's amazing. It's like, what does that have to do really with his law license? Have you ever heard of such a thing, Bruce, where he has to admit something is true or false? It has nothing to do with his law license.
I have not. You know, these hearings are supposed to be about really criminal behavior. Has an attorney embezzled someone? Has he commingled funds that are supposed to be kept separate? Is he not representing, he or she, not representing their client to the best of their ability? Those are the kind of things that judicial review is supposed to be done, or ABA or your local bar is supposed to review. Not when you gave advice to your client, did it work out or did it not work out?
Well, the other thing, too, it just occurs to me because I know something about this. Defense attorneys, well, let's just say, they lie. They learn how to twist facts and twist stuff. And if someone brings them up, like on a bar charge, I don't know if you call it that, bar review, challenge to their bar license, then what would I know? But I can't imagine them taking away, making them say that they gave advice to a criminal that was not true or withheld evidence that would have convicted him. They're not ever held accountable for what they're supposed to be actually doing.
As both a law enforcement person and as a prosecutor, I saw many defense attorneys, shall we say, shade the truth at best, at worst, lie straight up. I mean, I've had defense attorneys representing people that I've arrested saying I never gave their client his Miranda rights before I interrogated them. And we have a tape of me giving them their Miranda rights. And then they'll say, well, he didn't understand the rights. Well, I thought you said I didn't give them to him. Well, yeah, I guess you did give. I mean, they just flat out lie and then they shade the truth. So if you were going to, and look, nothing ever happened to those attorneys. And we chalk that up to, well, they're zealously representing their client. And I am all for that. I'm not necessarily for lying like that, but look, you have to give a person a good opportunity to represent their client. And from what I've seen of what John Eastman did back on January 6th, all he did was advise Donald Trump, who was his client, that he thought, in his opinion, the counting of the electoral votes by the vice president could be paused. That's all he's asking, that it be paused until the states that had potential problems with their electorals were sorted out.
So just to, if I can make this twisted thing less twisted, they're demanding John admit the 2020 election was not stolen. They want him to say that, which has nothing to do with his conduct as an attorney. And again, a criminal defense attorney lies all the time. And that's part of the game in the court. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be, but it is.
This is what we would call a kangaroo court. And their only reason for pursuing this is the California authorities want to basically perp walk John Eastman, almost like a communist regime. Like, we told you he was an enemy of the state, and now he's admitting it himself. This has nothing
off with
to
his
do.
Head.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with is John Eastman qualified to be a lawyer in California. You can listen to how John speaks. John is qualified to be an attorney.
Yeah.
This is strictly about revenge because this is a public relations campaign that has been waged ever since Biden took office to try to blunt the criticism that he was not a duly elected president.
Yeah absolutely, Bruce. And so our legal system needs a good shaking out. It needs to be doged in a lot of ways. It needs to go back to its roots. It needs to go back to the Abraham Lincoln. Boy, I love that. Young lawyer, Abraham Lincoln, young lawyer, that movie about how he tried so hard to be honest and how to defend his clients. That's what our judicial system was supposed to be. But it's just gotten twisted, and it needs to be untwisted. And John is really, I'll just say, hell-bent on untwisting it, a one-man crusade. And so I hope that you guys will help him. EastmanDilemma.com is his movie. GivesandGo.com/Eastman is where you can keep in touch with what's going on with John and help him a little bit financially in any way that you can. Honey, thank you for joining me.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you, sweetheart. All right. I want to thank our sponsor, Timothy Plan, because they let you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.